the Watchman, Shadrick Mahan, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Washington, D.C. He came into a sleepy southern town.
White business, white political power, white everything ruled the city.
The city was like a plantation. We didn't have elections. No mayor, no city council, we couldn't vote. Congress controlled D.C.
Control of Washington, D.C. was about one person, that's Representative John McMillan of South Carolina. He was a racist, and so that guided all of his politics. He used the district in ways that were designed to maintain the segregation, keep black folks down.
They had all been told, we black people will never vote. Politics is white people's business. We should never agitate white people. If they tell us to get off the street, get the hell off the street.
Politically, we were nowhere. We were just backward. People weren't used to registering to vote because they couldn't vote for anything. It was awful. And that makes anybody want to get angry. And not only make you angry, it makes you want to do something about it.
It was time for me, I think, to be here.
I live in the 3rd District, see? You dig it? I work in the 3rd District, dig it? And I deserve, the people out there live there, deserve the right to be here, and they're going to come in here as long as I'm in here.
This is my invitation only.
I don't have a car.
Mr. Roloff,
enrolls these young people who want to change the world. And among the leadership of that crowd was Marion Barry.
This is where the people outside can come in.
Order.
So what?
To order.
Bang again.
Order
it is order. Order. We want the people outside, inside. That's all. And ain't nobody gonna put me out either. I wish you would touch me. You might put me out of here. Go get all of them.
He was militant. He was a rabble-rouser and a thinker.
Marion Barry personified James Brown's theme song, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Brown. He was tall, he was handsome.
Maybe we're happy that the mayor asked us to come here. I'm not. You know, no big thing for me. I've been on more important committees than this.
He was arrogant. People do not like arrogant black men. White folks had a hard time dealing with that. A lot of black people had a hard time dealing with it.
Marion, everybody and his mother knows that the police is the number one problem in America. And if you all don't want to deal with that, that's your problem.
Yeah.
Police brutality was big. You got to remember, most of the police department, their recruits came out of places like West Virginia, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, Maryland. They didn't even come from D.C.
I am actually ashamed that these young people are in my generation. If I were to do some of the stuff these punks are doing out on the street now, my old man would kick my fanny up around my ears.
I don't consider this riffraff and whatnot out here in the street part of the community.
No more than 3 blacks were ever allowed to congregate. And you said, look, you can't stand on this corner. I don't care if you're holding a conversation with your cousins. Move on.
Now, I'm not concerned about what happens to Marion Barry, because when I go out here, more than likely, I can deal with the police, more than likely. But I'm talking about what do we do for the 600,000 black people out here who do have a problem with the police.
Marion and his cocky, arrogant, usual self, he felt untouchable. Marion would say, hell no, I ain't moving on. And the police would remind him that he was not untouchable. They locked him up over and over and over again.
My role as a leader is to get something if I can do it, and be beat to death if I can do it. But if I'm going to be beat to death, I might as well get something for it.
It was people like Marion Barry who brought about the consciousness here. He sort of was the spark who started all that.
We want to control that which is supposed to be for us.
A lot of people couldn't articulate, they couldn't explain how they felt. I didn't know exactly how they felt.
I went to the first meeting in the hope that I could get something done for black citizens in terms of police department.
He didn't know because he guessed at it. Marion knew it because he lived among the people.
Marion formed an organization called Pride.
Listen to this. This is from The Nine Lives of Marion Barry. It was on HBO, premiered on the 16th. You can keep your Michael Vick comments coming. I'm going to still build on those. Now we're transitioning to Marion Barry and then finally Mike Tyson. This is Marion Barry before he became mayor. Listen to how gangster this Pride program was. I can go anywhere in Washington, D.C. right now, find anybody in their 40s and 50s who would tell me they love Marion Barry because he got them a summer job. Listen.
Marion was out there for the black guy to get a job. And so this organization held out the hope. We're going to get jobs. We're going to put you to work. You're going to get some money.
How does one begin to measure dignity and hope? How does one begin to measure increased motivation and self-perception?
Marion went down and got the bottom of the barrel of the African-American men, the guys that everybody else had given up on.
The hustlers, the drug dealers, ex-convicts, the people that nobody wants to deal with. Pride afforded us an opportunity to get a job.
These young black guys were in and out of jail, no hope, no help. We knew we had to instill a sense of pride so they had been beat out of it if they ever had it. Because society doesn't make you feel proud. We turned a lot of lives around, a lot of lives around.
I'm an ex-convict, you understand? And I've been to many places before I came to Pride to try to get a job. This is the only place I can get a job.
For the first time, the community saw these street dudes, these hoodlums, cleaning the street. It was a beautiful program.
There's no doubt that Pride is working. Proof of it is that 2,800 dudes now have jobs and are living meaningful lives, all because of a chance they got from Pride when nobody else cared.
They come in the uniforms that they wear with great pride now, down the street, boom, beating on the trash can top, because we are somebody.
The message was, this is an army, and it's a black army. And that was scary to a lot of people.
They didn't dare arrest us because it was so many of us. We wanted to scare white folks and let them know that we were about having power.
Now here's this guy, this black guy, who organized these guys. He may have a couple thousand of them, you know. And they honestly believed in Marion. So, I mean, that was just powerful to have that.
How do you categorize the inner feeling of the workers who said they have found respect and pride? We want to make it very clear, we don't think that pride is the answer completely to what's happened in America, but it's a beginning.
Now that distinguished him, and it gave him a platform. You think he's not thinking of stepping on that? Of course. And why not?
August 19, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, CedricMuhammad.com. I want to welcome 104.1 California, Berkeley, all my Alaska listeners, listeners in Nairobi, Kenya, Kingston, Jamaica, Johannesburg, South Africa, London, England, and Brazil. Let me read your Mike Vick comments, and then we'll go into Marion Barry as mayor. You just heard Marion Barry before he became mayor, the Pride program. Some people thought he was building an army by giving out summer jobs. Kevin from Virginia Beach says, brother said, enough credit is not being given to Tony Dungy, who has stepped up to be a mentor of a young black man. He is a visible example of mentorship at his best. I agree. Love to see Tony Dungy there with Mike Vick. Jeffrey from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, he says, brother Cedric, I'm feeling your dogfighting position. Not being from up top, down here in North Carolina, we are now seeing the rise of dogfighting down south, especially with the influx of our South and Central American family. Ultimately, we have to be the initiators of the change, not PETA. I think that's my point, folks. Why does PETA and the Humane Society have to be a louder voice speaking to us about something that we know is a problem because we've seen it in our families? Mark M., Washington, D.C., my brother from another mother, he says, said, you are speaking truth about how cool it was in the hood to have pit bulls. I always saw it as just another false way to deflect our collective inability to address our realities and seek some kind or sense of power and affirmation in the hood. My man Mike Millions from New York City, he says, peace, said, to be honest with you, I didn't even know that dogfighting was illegal until Mike Vick got in trouble. Cam from Paterson, New Jersey, says, you are right and you do have a valid point, but I think this discussion is being forced upon us. Said, the NFL is playing this like the Don Imus debacle. Imus made a statement and black people spent the rest of the year discussing how we speak on rap records. To stop the dogfighting, you have to stop the car racing, late night, sports betting, poker games, and the numbers racket. Gambling holds it all together. Mike Vick made a lot of money with that operation, and that money is what his friends lived off of. Can you imagine the politicians and the police that he had to pay off to keep that thing going? It's too messy to touch. I love that. Here's my point. Only point I disagree with Cameron on, and I agree. This is a gambling operation. Get money. Hustle supremely. We had 2 years to get ready for him to come out of jail. Now, I'm not going to name any names. I may have slipped up and done that in the past. Perhaps that's dry snitching, right? I have talked to several hip-hop artists about doing things in the hood. In each case, inevitably, they never followed through. They did not follow through because most hip-hop artists see themselves as artists more than leaders. The same happens to us as a consuming base. We see Michael Vick as an athlete more than as a potential leader or as a family member. We relate to him through the uniform. We relate to him through Madden. We relate to him through the commercials. Here was a perfect opportunity, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said. They, quote unquote, they, right? They will throw our leaders and our celebrities back to us after they have demagnetized them. Well, they gave Michael Vick back to us after they demagnetized him, took away his power. No more fame, no more fortune, no more media platform. This was a perfect opportunity for us to be waiting for him right alongside with the business cats and helped him to be a new kind of leader while he was still getting money coming back into the league. But no, we want to relate to Michael Vick as an athlete. So we blew it. PETA, Humane Society, the NFL, and now even the Philadelphia Eagles have stepped into the breach, doing something that the NAACP, Urban League, Nation of Islam, 5% Nation of Gods and Earths, sororities, fraternities, Panhellenic Council, all could have done together. Whole total failure. The entire community could have united. Bloods and Crips couldn't even got in on this. We blew it. So now we had to look at that. Wendy Williams might say, how you doing? How you doing, dude, from the Humane Society? Now we had to look at his face for 2 years. Joseph from Brooklyn is back. Oh, he has another point. He says, though, by the way, let's go all out and really respect all creatures. There is a strong case for the vegetarian animal rights movement here, from pig eating to dog fighting. It can cover all the bases. I'm listening in on the Ustream application on my iPod Touch, and the next step is the BEC Cedric Muhammad app. Yeah, you can listen to the show on the Ustream. You can download the application. You can move around with my show, Ustream. Maybe I'll get a clear explanation on that. Okay, send in more Michael Vick comments, Marion Barry. Here's Marion Barry as mayor of D.C.
Marion Barry understands. He knows that the mayor must address himself to all the people.
People in the neighborhood have to have a feeling that the government belongs to them, a feeling that they can participate too, and that's the kind of direction that our city ought to be moving.
Take a stand. Vote Marion Barry for mayor.
Everybody thought he was crazy. Didn't have a chance. I mean, he wasn't in line. He wasn't high enough on the pecking order. There was Walter Washington, there was Sterling Tucker, and maybe three or four other people before Marion Barry.
Walter Washington has the support of the unions and of the working class population of blacks. Sterling Tucker gets the support of the quote-unquote Gold Coast black, the upper echelon of the African-American population.
And what is this Marion doing thinking he could run against Walter Washington or Sterling Tucker, who's sophisticated bourgeois too?
As a political advisor, I saw potential problems.
Hold on. Every meeting that we have called,
Man, this is really fucked up. I want to do it this way.
I still don't want to spend no more goddamn time.
Marion always had a little edge on it, you know? Marion Barry's a little bit scary. He's intimidating. So he's a radical, right?
There were some black people in this town who did not think well of Marion.
Marion's hair wasn't straight enough. His skin wasn't light enough. He didn't look like them. He didn't talk like them.
I mean, Marion come in with his country Tennessee accent and carrying on. You take a guy in a dashiki.
Marion would walk around with a chicken leg in his hand while he was talking. He might be conducting a meeting and be eating on a chicken leg or something, you know?
Marion was a smart, educated man. He already knows he's got to change his image.
He had to take that dashiki off. He had to cut down that bush. He got these tailor-made suits, you know, and he loves suits. You've got to take on that conservative look because you need a conservative vote.
The name is Marion Barry. He's an amazing man. He's an able man with a future that could lead him to, who knows, but it could go pretty far.
For a long time, I didn't trust the system. I didn't want to be a part of it. I didn't want to do anything like that. I thought they would co-op you, take you, suck you in, spit you out into something you don't want to be. But I thought a lot about it and decided that by running for mayor and using the power of that pen, I could make drastic changes in Washington.
I intend to be an aggressive kind of mayor where I could make public policy as opposed to influencing public policy.
With Marion, of course, in his campaign literature, it gave his background. It said what he did, and Marion's never going to let you forget what he's done.
Some of our viewers might be interested in hearing something about your background. You were born in Mississippi.
People talked about his being from Mississippi, being poor.
His mother was a teenage bride. They picked cotton. They worked the land. That's a hard living.
And I grew up dirt poor.
Did all kind of odd jobs, you know, housing pop bottles. Back in the day, you could get old rags and sell them, too.
People talked about his lifting himself up by his bootstraps.
You were an Eagle Scout, you're a member of the National Honor Society, you played varsity basketball, you received a master's in chemistry, and you were on your way to a doctorate, and then you shifted gears.
I think that movement was the catalyst and the lightning rod for the country, and I'm proud to have been a part of it.
His civil rights work resonated with people that a lot of other things wouldn't have resonated with.
He had instant credibility, as well he should have.
Here
here you have this sophisticated woman. You know, you're looking at them thinking night and day, but it gave him some legitimacy that he did not have.
Barry came off as youthful, as daring. Liberal whites embraced Marion Barry. And then the Washington Post editorially helped him tremendously by saying, exactly what Marion Barry is what this city needs.
He had run as an anti-establishment candidate and gotten the endorsement of the Washington Post, which is the establishment in Washington. He had done something amazing.
Things are really going to happen. We're on our way.
So help me God.
So help me God.
As I stand before you today in the shadow of the White House, I am convinced more than ever that Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, is a city whose time has come.
It was a new Boston town. It's a new game.
The past was too often defined by others, for us, and without us.
Marion represented the possibilities of all that people thought the civil rights movement would bring them.
Let us march on till victory is won. Thank you.
Give it a bridge now.
Marion Barry had a tremendously positive effect on Washington, D.C.
Under my leadership as your mayor, our city has changed for the best.
It was a great time, golden era.
Our downtown has come alive with new shops, theaters, offices, and jobs.
The city flourished physically, cranes everywhere, buildings going up, people working.
Operation First Class, look at that.
He was seen as the bright shining light who would lead us to the promised land.
Keep rolling.
The government became open to black people. They were able to get government jobs.
I'm establishing a deputy mayor for financial management. For that position, I'm happy to announce the appointment of Al Hill.
The idea that blacks could run a real government was a big deal.
Harold Thompson, James Buchan, Dr. Ernest Hardaway.
It brought the discussion into the black households about politics, because before then there was no reason to get involved because it was nobody that looked like you, that sounded like you. He just wasn't the mayor. He was our friend.
He loved people. He went out and talked to them, but he remembered them. He knew their names. He gave them eye contact. He related to them. They were somebody to him, and he became somebody to them.
Marion would smooch it up with everybody. Charisma, magnetism.
I think that was his art. I mean, you walk in the room, people say, Mr. Mayor, and they're ready to shake your hand and give you anything you want. It was like that with Marion Barry. He could get people to follow him.
If I rule the world, I'd have another girl.
Okay, now I want to get into the decline of Marion Barry. Yes, if you have a screen in front of you, I will be putting up the photo of him smoking the crack in the hotel room. Because I want you to see the trajectory of somebody that is connected with the people, rises with the people, gets into power, and has all these forces working on them. But again, you go anywhere in D.C., hard to find people that are adamantly opposed to Marion Barry to this day. That Pride program, the summer jobs program, was a big part of it. His ability to speak the language of the people and bring them into the corridors of power politically and electorally, big thing, big deal. And then, of course, the crash and burn and the resurrection and rise like the phoenix. I think Marion Barry deserves legendary status. Comes out of that civil rights black power nexus that also produced the leadership of many in Newark, New Jersey, and Detroit. Newark and Detroit and D.C. to me kind of exemplify what happens when the civil rights and black power nexus gets access to capital from the government. Detroit, Newark, D.C. COINTELPRO though at work, playing on our real weaknesses and of course producing false witnesses. Here's the decline, so to speak, of Marion Barry. This is coming from The Nine Lives of Marion Barry on HBO.
The city began to take a turn for the worse in the late 1980s.
Government wasn't functioning the same way. He wasn't providing the same leadership. He wasn't providing hope.
Often what happened was he ended up putting a person in a position who had very little skills for the job.
Yes, the picture of Marion Barry smoking the crack is up now if you want to look.
By his third term, his administration was out of control. His two top deputy mayors were sent to prison for corruption. The graph trickled on down from the top.
Cronyism was running wild in Washington. Our tax dollars were going for people that were not delivering. Marion wasn't the same Marion. He was bullshitting now.
All of a sudden, the drinking was out of control. When you're going to four or five receptions a night, you just don't drink one drink. People who wanted to impress the mayor or have a moment with the mayor were plying him with liquor or whatever. They fed his weaknesses.
We all go through the people-pleasing stage, you know. Insecure, I was insecure. Friendships, hard to find. True friendships. It's tough. Everybody wants a piece of me. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants that. Some things legitimate, some not legitimate.
I became concerned, and I said, you are the mayor, and therefore it's important for you to act like the mayor. But Marion is stubborn. He'll do what he wants to do.
D.C. Mayor Marion Barry attended a Christmas party at This Is It, a 14th Street nightclub featuring nude dancing.
When you first hear the stories, it's kind of like, did you hear so-and-so, and it's a rumor. And you're like, you got to be kidding me. You know, you laugh a little bit about it. Then you start hearing more.
We have also learned that there is at least one more woman prepared to come forward now.
How many women were actually performing sex on the mayor?
Two. They were right in his lap.
So he was snorting cocaine at the same time he was being rubbed?
Mm-hmm.
The mayor was constantly getting in trouble. He was found in places he wasn't supposed to be, doing embarrassing things. A woman kicked him out of her apartment, and he was up there screaming from the road, let me in, and embarrassing. Our mayor, this is outrageous.
Like every time I turned on television, supposedly he was here, he was there, and pretty soon it's very, very difficult to determine what is fact and what is fiction, because it's all possible.
Mayor Marion Barry tonight angrily denied that he has been hospitalized after overdosing on cocaine.
Mr. Mayor, have you ever overdosed on drugs?
Isn't that crazy? I mean, again, that is an outrageous kind of statement. Like I said, it makes you want
to
vomit.
To restore confidence, then, are you prepared to engage in a series of regular drug tests? Not just one, but over a long period of time?
Well, I'm not sure that's going to solve the problem.
He started to sweat.
For the seniors, I'm going to continue to fight for dignity and respect and help for you. We can continue to wage this war on drugs. We can continue to lead this city.
He started to slur his words. You could see that he was trying to maintain control. He became an embarrassment. An embarrassment to friends, embarrassment to family, embarrassment to self.
In a very real way, Barry's own decline from drugs mirrored that of the city's decline from drugs. This is the middle of the crack cocaine epidemic. Washington was the murder capital of the United States.
That was really when we needed Marion Barry to be the Barry of 1978. And he was gone. He was wasted.
But I was snorting cocaine, and I said to myself, I'm not the typical kind of cocaine user. I said, I just do a little bit of it. But let me tell you, it doesn't work that way. At the time, you don't know what you're doing. At least I didn't know what I was doing with that. You know, when you're using cocaine, it takes you up, and you can't, you know, you can't relax, at least immediately. And I started taking Valium to sort of bring me down.
How many of y'all know somebody who you think is selling dope? How many of y'all know where a crack house is? Now, I'm opposed to drugs not because they're illegal. I'm opposed to it because they mess up your mind. PCP destroys your brain cells. Cocaine and heroin destroys your body. My mind is too sharp. My body is too precious for me to put some poison in my body.
And we didn't even connect it. Between what I did and what I was saying. That's the complexity of the disease. It doesn't connect logically to what you're doing. It runs you rather than you run it.
To be preparing yourself for bed, and you get a phone call at around 9:30 or 9:45, and the chief of staff tells you that your husband has been arrested and he's at FBI headquarters. It's like I fell into a black hole. Again, I felt like Alice in Wonderland. But it was a different Alice.
Last night, shortly before 8:30 p.m., Marion Barry Jr., mayor of Washington, D.C., was arrested of willful possession of crack cocaine at a downtown hotel. The arrest of Mr. Barry was the result of an undercover operation conducted by the Metropolitan Police Department, the FBI, and the United States Attorney's Office here in the District of Columbia.
What about the timing?
People in this city who believe that Marion Barry was targeted by you and your office because he is an effective black political leader.
There's absolutely no basis for that claim.
When Marion was arrested, it became an international fiasco.
We're a racially charged city anyway, and this just lit a match.
There's been a broad split between Washington's white and black communities. People in the black community tend to rally around the mayor, often accusing the white establishment of being out to get him.
There is no justice in America for the black man or the black woman. Let us not deceive ourselves.
Black people thought he was set up.
But for white voters, that was it. They thought this was the ultimate act of chutzpah, of gall. I mean, they were done with it.
And if I hear one more black claim that it's because he's black, I'm going to throw up.
And let's dismiss all this nonsense about entrapment. Nobody forced him to go to that hotel. Marion Barry is a pathological liar. He's a crackhead.
We knew that this would be used to say, black people can't run anything. Look what they did. Look how they act. They're all a bunch of dope fiends.
Anything to get that son of a bitch out of office. He deserved it.
The trial was a spectacle. This was a media feeding frenzy of the first regard.
Record.
I don't know how many witnesses there were, but there were scores and scores of them. But to me, the most dramatic moment in the trial came when the doors opened at the back of the courtroom and in walks the mystery woman that we've all been hearing about, Rashida Moore.
Rashida Moore was busted by the FBI and then turned by the FBI against Barry.
That was what everybody wanted to see. Yeah, that's his girlfriend. I had never heard of Rashida Moore. Who is this woman? What does she look like? What is she going to say?
Rashida Moore was crucial, obviously, to catching Barry, because finally they had penetrated someone in Barry's inner circle and had gotten a camera inside and actually videotaped it.
Rashida Moore and I've been seeing each other from time to time. Very, very attractive lady, and very, you know, appealing. She would call, I wouldn't then take the call. But this particular evening, she said to my secretary, it's urgent. I gotta talk to him. It's urgent. It's a matter of life and death. So I talked to her. She said, I'm in town for this conference or something. And I want to at least talk to you about a thing I got going. I mean, something. I said, well, I'm not coming up there. I'll meet you downstairs. She called me. She said, I tell you what, I just had a little bowl of soup. Ordered. Why don't you come on upstairs? I said, I don't want to do that. Just come for a little while. Just have any soup, then we'll come back downstairs. I said, okay.
You have this fuzzy looking view of this hotel room, and it's largely quiet. It's just two people.
You made a little
weight. A little bit. I got about 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Probably lost a little bit in my face.
But you're healthy. Yeah.
You been good?
Huh?
You been good? Of course not. What?
What do you mean?
What? I know
it's not.
You can see Barry trying to turn every conversation into a sex conversation.
Can we go up lay in town? We do that business for old times' sake, you know, get something.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I'm just sitting there just in a state of shock because I don't know this man. There were many emotions going through my body. Anger. How could you be so stupid? Cattiness. Is that Rashida? She doesn't look that good. But I sat there. Because that was the thing to do.
No.
Yeah.
No,
I really hadn't put my jacket on. You know, when she gave me the spin with that, you know how to use it, I went to the bathroom. And I said, why don't you do it? She said, no, you take it here. And
how does it work?
What?
How does it work? You do it.
No, I'm not doing it.
No.
Huh?
No, you do it.
You're damn decorous.
How you do it?
I thought you wanted to do it.
No, you do it.
Don't do it. And it makes me feel hyper. I get really hyper.
My size to one.
There's only one thing you could play after that. That's the decline of Marion Barry as mayor. D.C. and the mayor went down together. Reflection of the times. It's a mental massage today. I want you all to think of Mike Vick, Mike Tyson, and Marion Barry together. Maybe three aspects of the same story. Send your comments in.
That's that crack music, That real black music.
Yep. Listen to these lyrics. Kanye Yeezy, he told us about it. Set me up.
That crack music, that real.
eclectic audience on radio, only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
Ronald Reagan took up an answer. You hear that? What Gil Scott was hearing when our heroes and heroines got flipped on heroin crack. Raised the murder rate in D.C. and Maryland. We invested in that, it's like we got Merrill Lynch. And we've been hanging from the same tree ever since. Sometimes I feel the music is the only medicine. So we cook it, cut it, measure it, bag it, sell it. The fiends cop it, nowadays they can't tell it. That's that good, we ain't sure, man. Put the CD on the tongue, yeah, that's pure, man. That's that crack music,
ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
That's that crack music, that real black music, black music. From the place where the father's gone, the mother's is hardly home, and the mighty gone's like us up in the Audi home. How the Mexicans say we just trying to party home. They wanna pack us all in a box like styrofoam. Who gave you dime anthrax? George Bush got the answers. Back in the hood, it's a different type of chemical. Arm and Hammer, bacon, soda. Raised they whole quota. Right when our soldiers ran for the stove. Cause dreams of being hobo. Went from being a broke man to being a dope man to being a president. Look, there's hope, man. It's that inspiration for the Mo's and the folks, man. Shorty come and see his mama straight overdose, man. And this is the soundtrack.
The internet, terrestrial, and satellite radio. The platform revolution continues. The Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program. Sober, stimulating, and hot. It's the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
God, how could you let this happen?
The godfather of cyberspace and the guardian of black universalism, Mr. Cedric Muhammad.
Barry came out of prison, it was a day of redemption, a day of jubilee. Church people, ladies in their fine hats, children, all are there to see that Zulu warrior who was counted down but never counted out.
I've admitted to you and all the world that I got caught up in alcohol and drug abuse. I hurt myself and my family and many of you. I've asked you for your understanding, your forgiveness, yeah, and your
you
love.
Yeah.
He got great sympathy from African Americans. Many of them had their own issues with drugs, and they saw him like they saw their sons, as just another victim of an insidious drug.
Right now, Marion Barry is a role model. He's a role model for every black man that's in this city that has fell down but was scared to get up and brush the dust off. Now, he did this. And you know what? People are looking at him and say, if he can do it, I can do it.
He cast himself in religious terms. I've fallen, but I'm trying to get up.
Keep an eye on yourselves. And in this way, you will obey the law of Christ.
He had taken on an African name. Anwar Amal.
He went back out and shook every damn head. I said, I'm back. We said, glad to see you.
And that's my love for you, Barry. That's my love for you, Barry.
I remember writing, he's going to run for mayor. And everybody said, that's impossible.
People were shocked and stunned and amazed and appalled. It's like, you can't do this. You serve time in jail.
Can do it. Our entire city can get up off its knees and rise up and believe in itself again and do for itself again and bring us out of where we are now again. I wanna be
elected. It was like they were doing a movie and you'd say, oh no, that really didn't happen. But it did happen. He had no white support, zero. I mean, infinitesimal.
Now, what do you say to the white middle class and upper income voters who didn't vote for you?
Well, get over whatever personal hang-ups you got. Get over it.
White people believed he's a thug and a scoundrel.
That was it for me. That was the point where I just said, I can't take any more of this. This is my city, he's destroying it.
Gosh darn. I mean, we have a lot at stake when a mayor is terrible, and I was pissed off. Marion Barry and Washington, D.C. become a laughing stock in the world.
Barry is back! I mean, if you get caught smoking crack at McDonald's, you can't get your job back. That's right. They're not going to trust you around the Happy Meals. They'll send your ass to Hardee's. Now, how you going to tell little kids to not get high when the mayor's on crack? Don't get high, it won't be nothing. I could be mayor.
Some people vote for Marion Barry to stick it to the government. We'll show you, to the Congress. We'll show you. Well, that was a wasted vote because in the end, Congress showed then.
The control board was a symbol of going back to the world of the 1960s.
So after Marion Barry was reelected, they set up the control board to make D.C. a colony again, basically.
There was that plantation mentality. Citizens were still continually at the whim of the federal government.
I'm really upset that this mean-spirited Republican-led Congress has broken too many of our spirits.
The Republicans were in charge. It was a new day in D.C.
He was the mayor of the city which they own. They control. This is a federal city. He's an irritant. This is an embarrassment. We got to get rid of him.
He didn't have any control over budgets. He didn't have any control over personnel.
In essence, a man who had once said, we are in charge, is now in charge of nothing.
Boom, there it goes right there. Now look, that's Marion Barry. You heard Michael Vick a little earlier. I think that the question of whether a person is reformed, redeemed, able to serve again, in the picture, in the case of Michael Vick, it's being determined by his former employer, and the external society, in the case of Marion Barry, it was determined by the people. Think about that. Who's really behind the quote-unquote reforming of Michael Vick? Is it the community or is it the business interest and the political lobbies? In the case of Marion Barry, it was the people. I'll get to Mike Tyson next hour. I'll play you the clip that made me tear up. I'll explain to you why it's so important to understand the relationship between Mike Tyson and Customato.
The godfather of cyberspace and the guardian of black universalism, Mr. Cedric Muhammad.
Out there running around with y'all little jack, man. Man, world. Go to summer school and get your GED.
Yeah.
It's a man's world. No broad allowed. All my with that
raw allowed. All my s*** with they fours allowed. Who won't hesitate to bang a right in between they brow. Let's roll. Wearing thongs and skirts, trying to catch them while they going to work. Hit the s*** on they job at they lunch break. Make the pump quick, yeah. Leave them unplayed when the pump break. I roll with a sick ball, I fly.
August 19, 2009. Hottest show in the diaspora. Let me read your comments. Mr. Black Power from Houston, Texas, he says, do you really think black, quote-unquote, business as usual, I am not going to jeopardize my good government job, black folks, are going to do anything to embrace Mike Vick? Too many of our leaders are sponsored by crooks and criminals who don't provide adequate health care to their employees or pay for that matter. Jason from Chicago, he says, peace said, thanks for keeping it real. Mike Vick is a classic situation of black folk not understanding who controls our community. It is still a master-slave relationship. Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, is acting as the liberal slave master nonetheless, as Vick plays the role of the captured slave that has been tamed. On a contemporary note, says, isn't it Michael Vick's cousin and former NFL QB Aaron Brooks, an entrepreneur back in their hometown of Bad News, VA? Isn't it he that is trying to turn things around by bringing investment to the community? That was an opportunity for the black community to get on board with a simple press conference. A simple press conference. Urging attention to Michael Vick and the plight of his community that is suffering on so many levels. Since that didn't happen, white folks are using him to advance their own platform of animal cruelty. At this point, I think it is still possible to jump into the fray and bring light to the problems back home nonetheless. Jason from Chicago is on it. Yeah, if the culture of the community that produced Michael Vick, Newport News, Virginia, I used to live in Hampton too, that whole area, Iverson, Bad News, VA. If the problem was the culture of that community, what is being done to help Newport News, Virginia? Jason is right on it. This has now turned into an animal cruelty issue because the community sees Michael Vick as an athlete and not as a family member and not as a potential leader. So we relate to him as an athlete, allowing the business interests that are shaping his career to have the first say in his path to quote-unquote redemption and reform. This is why I gave the title, I included regression, I included reinvention. This isn't about turning Michael Vick loose so that he can become mayor of Newport News, Virginia one day. I want to say peace to Shafiq from the Thoroughborough, Willingboro, New Jersey. Peace, God. I see you. Nice to have you, Mr. Black Power. Just wanted to add that they just erected a statue of Ronald Reagan, who was the father of all of the debt that this country has fallen into. But we were struggling for a minute trying to put the Martin Luther King statue on the National Mall. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Not only that, we're struggling to pay for it. Okay, we've looked at Mike Vick. We've looked at Marion Barry. Now let's look at the man that made me cry on, I forget what day this was. Mark M., my brother from another mother, and brother Charles, my business partner, and the one who first taught me the knowledge of self, they both put me on to this Mike Tyson DVD, which I finally watched. Somebody made a point earlier about Mike Vick and his relationship with Tony Dungy, a beautiful relationship. Man, it's hard to find a more beautiful relationship than that which existed between Mike Tyson and his trainer, a white man, Customato. I got the audio. Here's Mike Tyson talking about how he grew as a result of the tutelage and guidance that he received from Customato. To me, this is what it all boils down to. Every single person out there, white, black, red, yellow, whatever they are, brown, you have a spirit that can be contacted, if it is developed and cultivated the right way, you can become a god. What Custom Model did for Mike was show him how to tap into the god within himself and become so powerful that he was able to exceed his wildest imaginations in terms of accomplishment, in terms of capacity, in terms of performance. If any of you have a mentor that's meaningful, I have a few, maybe two or three people who, you know, I would feel this way about. Let me know. And if you saw the Mike Tyson DVD in general, let me know.